God, we humble ourselves and we just ask, God, that you would have your way in this place. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. Amen. 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 You may be seated if you're still standing. We're going to partake of communion a little bit later on at the end of the service, because it's one of the most incredible ways that we can really show our thanks. We're in the season of giving thanks, the season of Thanksgiving, and it's great, you know, that we are thankful during this time of year, but at the same time, you know, it shouldn't be only one time a year that we are reminded to give thanks, amen, that every single day that we wake up, that we should thank the Lord for the breath that we have in our lungs, that we should thank the Lord for all that he has blessed us with. And, you know, I just want to start by saying I am very grateful. I'm very thankful for my wife, who's just been a tremendous help to my life and just been an awesome pastor's wife and just an awesome person, a person of God. And, I am who I am because of her. And so you guys put your hands together and give some thanks for the pastor's wife, Miss Tara. I'm so thankful for my family, my kids. I'm thankful for all of you who came today. I'm thankful for all of you who have stepped up recently and just stepped up in a big way. We had people decorating tables and setting up tables, Miss Lena and Miss Lynn. Thank you so much. So many people have stepped up since the message about getting involved. And so I just want to thank you. If you play a part here, if you wear a name tag, if you're an usher, if you do something here at this church, I just want to say thank you. We're just so thankful for all that you have done. Amen. And so we're continuing our series, The Beatitudes. And though being thankful is not mentioned in the Beatitudes, we want to talk about being thankful. Amen. Do we have some thankful people in the house today? Amen. Come on, if it had not been for Jesus, come on, if it had not been for our Lord and Savior who died on the cross for our sins, where would we be? Come on, do we have any thankful people in the house today? Come on, our lives were a complete wreck. We were lost. We were on the way to hell, but the Lord came and he rescued us. I'm so thankful for salvation. I'm so thankful for the cross. I'm so thankful for what Jesus did in my life. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, this morning, I just want to kind of talk a little bit about the Apostle Paul and his life. And forgive me if I sound a little drainy. I'm just kind of battling this thing. I'm fighting my battles. Amen. I'm lifting up the name of the Lord. But anyway, so just to kind of talk a little bit about Paul. He writes this letter to the Thessalonians. And just to kind of give you guys a little back history of what happened prior to this. On Paul's second missionary journey, he goes to this place called Thessalonica. And there he preaches the gospel, and many receive the gospel. Many of the Jews and many of the Gentiles receive it and believe. But there was a great deal of people who rose up against Paul. They were not all about what Paul was preaching. In fact, as Paul began to preach the gospel to Thessalonica, there were some Jews who became jealous of Paul. Because as he preached, people were gathered around him because people were gathered to truth. People know truth. And so the Jews at that time, they were becoming a little jealous because Paul was gaining ground, if you will. And so they stir up this crowd and incite a riot almost against Paul. And Paul is driven away from Thessalonica. And he goes to a place called Berea. And in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, it says, "Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica." Talking about the Jews, they were more noble than those in Thessalonica. "They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so." But then if we scroll down to 13 and 14, it says, "But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was proclaimed by Paul at Berea also, they came there too, agitating and stirring up the crowds. Then the brothers immediately sent Paul off on his way to the sea, but Silas and Timothy remained there." And so even though Paul is driven to Berea, it says that the Jews from Thessalonica follow him all the way to Berea and agitate the crowds and stir up the crowds because they were so distraught that this gospel was gaining ground. And so they follow Paul everywhere he went and just trying to really disrupt what God was trying to do through the man of God. Anybody has someone like this in your life where they're constantly trying to tear you down and constantly trying to get you to stop following after Christ, to get you to stop following the will of God for your life, right? Anybody has anybody like this in their lives? You know, it's just a constant battle, just trying to tear you down and prevent you from doing the work of the Lord. And so this letter that Paul writes to the Thessalonians, he writes this, and so with all of this in view, the fact that he went to Thessalonica, he was rejected, he was even chased off, but then he writes this letter as a letter of thankfulness. Now, in my mind, in my human natural mind, it would be hard, right, to say, I'm just going to write a letter of thankfulness, even though I was chased out of Thessalonica, even though they was wanting to kill me, even though they almost succeeded in killing me, I'm going to write a letter of thankfulness. Now, this is what I'm talking about. Because Paul, despite the adversity that he faced in Thessalonica, he said, you know what, it's better for me to give thanks. It's better for me to write down the why I am thankful and the success that I did have in Thessalonica. And rather than complaining about what didn't happen, I'm going to talk about and brag about what did happen, what God did do in my life. I'm not going to complain about those things that did not happen, even though I didn't see the revival like I wanted to see, even though I didn't see thousands coming to the Lord. I'm going to thank God for what did happen. Amen. So he writes this letter to... It's in 1 Thessalonians 1:1-3, and we're going to start off. It says, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor, of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. So instead of complaining about how he was chased out of Thessalonica, he begins to give thanks. And one of the first things I want to mention about this is that he begins to name his reasons for giving thanks. All right? And so one of the first points I want to bring to you is name your reason for being thankful. So he has a whole list of things that he's thankful for. He's thankful for their faith. He's thankful for their work. In other words, that they were working and abounding in the ministry because Paul had went there. He was obedient to what the Lord had called him to do, and he was preaching the gospel. Someone heard the good news, and they, too, began to preach the gospel, and they, too, began to spread the word of God. And so the word of this travels all the way to Macedonia and travels all the way to these different areas, these different countries. Word about what they were doing in Thessalonica began to travel because Paul has sowed a seed into someone's life, and they in turn begin to sow a seed into someone else's life. So this gospel began to gain some traction. He begins to say, I'm thankful for their faith, and I'm thankful for their work. And then in verse 8 it says, for not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. That's when you know... That is the most rewarding thing a minister can experience. If I pour into you the word of God, and then you begin to just take it and run with it, and then people are being saved, and I don't have to inform you, I don't have to instruct you, I don't have to guide you, it just takes off. That's the most rewarding thing that Paul can say about his ministry. Hey, look, I went over there, I preached to you guys, and you guys got it. And you guys just begin to take this thing and run with it. That's awesome. Paul didn't have to say another word to those people because the people in Thessalonica were doing their job. Amen. What happens when the church begins to do their job? What happens when the church begins to spread the good news? Amen. And so then he goes on, see, he talks about how he's faithful for their love. You know, it's a labor of love that you begin to share the gospel with someone else. If you love your relatives, you know, how many guys will be spending time this week with relatives, right? And so sometimes it's an act of love, right? And you might have to have a little bit extra love this week. But as you begin to share the love of Christ with your relatives, look, it is the greatest act of love that you can do. Whenever you begin to tell them about Jesus, it's really the greatest act of love that you can do. You show it, not only tell them about the love of Jesus, but you show it to them. I know you don't like brother-in-law. I know you don't like mother-in-law or father-in-law. I know you don't like these people, but you're stuck with them, right? You're stuck with them for the rest of your life. So you might as well grow to like them. You might as well show the love of God toward them. And then as you do, you're demonstrating the most authentic Christian love that a person can offer. Amen. And so he's thankful for the love. Then he begins to say he's thankful for their work. Well, that his work was not in vain. He begins to say, hey, look, I'm thankful that whenever I went to Thessalonica, that it wasn't in vain. Sometimes we feel that way, right? Sometimes we feel that whenever we either share our testimony with someone or we demonstrate some sort of act of kindness, sometimes we feel like, man, was it just in vain? You know, did they really receive it? Is it, you know, are they taking it to heart or are they just going to cast it to the side? And it's encouraging to see whenever we see the fruits of our work, when we see, hey, wow, they not only received it, but they are preaching the gospel. What an awesome thing. And so Paul is thankful that the word of God was taking effect in their lives and that his work was not in vain. And so Paul, he's thankful for all these things. He begins to put it on paper, all right, because thankfulness is not really thankfulness unless it is expressed, right? You can have a thankful heart, but if you never begin to put it down on paper, if you never begin to express it to that person, if you never begin to vocalize that thankfulness, then what good is it being thankful? So Paul begins to write a letter of thankfulness in 1 Thessalonians. He says, I'm not only thankful, I'm going to write about my thankfulness. I'm going to express my thankfulness. And so the next point is express your thankfulness. There's probably someone in your life today that you haven't told, hey, I am very thankful for you. I am very thankful for you. I'm thankful for all of your hard work. I'm thankful for your commitment. I'm thankful that you love the Lord. I am thankful. And so people around us need to hear you express your thankfulness to them. So it's one thing just to think about it. Oh, and you might be very thankful, but you need to begin to express your thankfulness. And so I know for us guys in the room, we're like, we don't like to express much, but your wives need to hear it, all right? Your wives need to hear how thankful you are that they do the laundry, that they do all the cooking, that they take care of the kids, and that they drive themselves crazy, and that you just get to sit down there and watch a football game. Your wives need to hear how thankful you are for them. I was hoping I would get an amen from the ladies. Wives, spouses, you need to be thankful for your husbands, that they work hard and that they try to make the family better and that they try their very best, right? You need to be thankful for them if they're in the house of the Lord today, that they made a decision to be in the house of the Lord. That they made a decision to say, hey, I'm going to lead this family. I'm going to be the man of this household, and I'm going to lead with his direction. You need to be thankful for that man this morning, because there's not many of them out there. And so we look at a couple of other instances in 1 Thessalonians. In the second chapter, verse 13, it says, Paul begins to say, and we also thank God constantly for this, that when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. And so he's thankful that the word of God has taken effect in their lives, that they receive the word as the word of God. And then in 1 Thessalonians 3:9, it says, for what thanksgiving can we return to God for you? So he's just overwhelmed with thankfulness. He's like, there's not enough words to express how thankful I am for the effect of the gospel in your lives. That for all the joy that we feel for your sake because of our God. So he's thankful for the joy that because they're receiving the gospel, it brings such a joy into his life. He begins to thank the Lord. So you got to express your thankfulness. Turn to your neighbor and say, express your thankfulness. Express your thankfulness. And then if we turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, We find one of the greatest things, one of the greatest challenges about this idea of being thankful. He says to be thankful in all things. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I'm going to read that again. Give thanks in all circumstances. It didn't say give thanks whenever you win the lottery. Give thanks whenever everything is going great. Give thanks whenever brother-in-law is acting great. Give thanks whenever, you know, your bank account is thriving. Give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks whenever you're broke. Give thanks whenever things are falling apart, whenever your kids are acting crazy. Give thanks whenever brother-in-law is acting a fool. Give thanks in all circumstances. I don't know why I'm picking on brother-in-law this morning. Someone got a brother-in-law you got some issues with. Be thankful. Be thankful in all circumstances. Amen. So some of us, though, have faced some really horrible circumstances. And so you may be wondering, how is it even possible to be thankful in this circumstance? How is it possible to be thankful whenever I lost my spouse? How is it possible to be thankful whenever all I've experienced in my life is abuse and neglect? How is it possible to be thankful when everything around me just seems to be so harsh? Come on, man. I'm talking real this morning. I think one way that we can do this is we look at the life of Jesus. You know, one of the greatest examples of someone who was facing some really difficult situations, but yet he chose to give thanks. Let's look at it. Book of Luke, chapter 22, 19 through 20, and he says this, "And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, 'This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant of my blood.'" Jesus is breaking bread. Just to remind you, this bread is symbolic of his body that was about to be broken. That he was about to be beaten with a whip, and that his body was about to be torn apart. And as he's breaking his bread and being reminded of what he's about to face, he said, "I'm going to choose to give thanks to my God." How is he able to do that? Because Jesus was not looking at his current circumstance. Jesus was not looking at his current situation. He was looking at a future glory. He was looking, yes, he knew the cross was coming. He knew that he would endure the cross, but he was seeing what would happen after the cross. He said, "Hey, you know what? I know that Peter's going to deny me three times, and I know my disciples are going to run away from me, and they're going to all scatter and like lost sheep. I know that I'm going to be all alone on this cross. I know that my body is about to get brutally beaten. But I'm looking past all that. I'm looking towards the future glory. I'm looking forward whenever I come out the grave and whenever I resurrect. And because of what I have done on the cross, that they will have forgiveness of their sins. That they will be made the righteousness of God." He was looking at a future glory. He was looking at whenever he would resurrect from the grave, that he would be seated in the right hand of God, the place of glory. He was looking beyond his current circumstance. That's how he is able to be thankful in all things. In fact, the book of Hebrews would say this in Hebrews 12:2. He says, "Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God." It's because his eyes were not on his circumstance that he was able to break bread and give thanks. You know, if you're having a hard time this morning giving thanks and being thankful, it's because your eyes are on your circumstance. Your eyes are on the things of the natural. When the Lord is calling you to look past your circumstance and look past your situation and look towards a day when you experience a future glory, if you don't experience it on this day, then you will experience it whenever we are before the Lord, whenever we cross over to the other side. We look forward to a future glory. Come on, our buyers might be not functioning as they used to. You might not be able to run as you used to be able to run. You might not be able to do those things you used to be able to do, but we're looking forward to a future glory whenever we will have a glorified body, and this body will no longer experience pain, no longer experience hurt, no longer experience depression, rejection, or none of those things. We're looking forward to a future glory. So therefore, I can be thankful right now because I know this is only a season that I'm in right now. I set my eyes to a future glory. Amen.
Amen.
It's not permanent. Your situation is not permanent. It's only temporal. This life on earth is not permanent. It's only temporary. We set our eyes to a future glory. Amen. We can be thankful. Be thankful in all things. Instead of complaining about your spouse, begin to be thankful that you don't have to go through life alone. Yeah. If you're alone, be thankful that God is with you, that He will never leave you, never forsake you. And that this could be the greatest season of your life of just God using you and utilizing you because you're not constrained to a relationship. If you have kids, be thankful for your kids. They are a blessing from the Lord. If you're unable to have kids, be thankful for the peace and quiet that you currently enjoy. In all things, in all circumstances, you can be thankful. Amen. I'd like to end off this sermon just by showing a video of what it really looks like. You know, it's easy to be thankful when things are going great, but when things are not going so great, how do you deal with that? So I'm hoping this video is going to help you guys out and as we look at this morning.
It was so cold during the night, he would suffer hypothermia. So hot during the day that your skin would burn to the edge of the container. The bugs that bite you felt like fire all over your body, but like driving a nail into wood, every hit, every beating, every blow to my body drew me closer to God. These are some of the notes I took when I had a chance to spend a few days with a lady called Helen Bahani. What you don't understand, or what you don't get when you first meet Helen, is her past. You see, Helen spent 2.5 years locked inside a metal shipping container for refusing to recant her faith. And not only that, she taught me one of the most profound spiritual lessons of my life. She taught me about thankfulness. If you were to wake up tomorrow with only the things you thank God for today, what would you have? In Helen's case, every day for 2.5 years, she woke up on the floor of a jagged metal shipping container inside a prison where she was beaten and tortured regularly. But one of the most incredible stories for me is her response to a beating that very nearly took her life. You see, Helen had been writing notes of encouragement and sending them to fellow prisoners, putting scriptures on them that she could memorize. And the guards came to her and they said, "Helen, where is your Bible?" And she said, "I don't have one." And they said, "Is it in your head?" She said, "Yeah, it's in my head." And they said, "Well, we're going to have to beat it out of you." They proceeded to grab Helen and they dragged her to a courtyard, placed her in the middle, and started to beat her with wooden batons. What she does next has single-handedly changed my Christian walk forever. You see, in the middle of this beating, Helen stops and looks at the guy hitting her and says to him, "I do not hate you, for you are just carrying out an order. But you need to know that I'm carrying out an order too. And that's not to renounce Jesus. So carry on." Carry on? I mean, when they were finished beating her, they simply threw her body back into the metal shipping container. And as she lay on the floor in the container, she began to sing the following. Thank you for the cold nights. Thank you for the hot days. Thank you for the hunger, for the sickness. Thank you for the bugs that bite my body. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thankfulness. Have you ever stopped for a minute to think about what role it plays in your life? I mean, what role thankfulness plays in your everyday? If you're like me, it's probably not much. You see, I ask God for a lot. But in comparison, I thank Him for very little. The more I think about people like Helen Bahani and the persecuted church, the more it begins to dawn on me that it's actually reversed. You see, they thank God for almost everything. And in comparison, they ask Him for very little. And this is because they're not following an institution called Christianity. They're following a living God. We're following a living God who walked the earth and who today walks the earth through His Spirit. Our gratitude, our thankfulness, and the level by which we measure it should not be based off a set of rules or expectations and buzzwords, I guess, created by this Christian pop culture. It should be defined by Jesus Christ, who walked with broken people, loved the unlovable, stood in the face of religion, led with a character and set of principles that He would not compromise for anyone or any deal. Didn't seem to care about things like brand, fashion label, return on investment, number of friends on Facebook or followers on Instagram. And didn't mind looking awkward if saying no meant the right outcome was achieved. And on top of all that, loved a dying and broken world with a passion that could not be filled, stopped, watered down or contained. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, who ultimately laid down His life so that a sinful, broken, and dislocated group of people could have eternal life with Him. And for that, I'm forever thankful. If you were to wake up tomorrow...
Amen. You bow your heads and close your eyes. Today we remember what You've done for us, Lord Jesus. How You were beaten on that cross. And in this scripture in Luke, we see that You were thankful as You were breaking bread. Yet as You remembered, this was symbolic of what was going to happen to Your life. You were thankful for those hard, difficult circumstances that You are about to face. Help us to be more like Christ. That we too, Lord God, would be thankful in all circumstances. Everything that we face, everything that we have gone through, Lord, that we would be thankful. Lord, today we just want to take communion as just a symbol of our thankfulness for what You've done for us. So we're going to ask you guys that you begin to pass out the bread and pass out the juice. And as you are out there, we pray that you would examine your heart before the Lord. He says if you were to take communion in an unworthy manner, that you're bringing damnation upon yourself. But if you was to do it in remembrance of Him, that it can actually bring healing and health and wholeness to your body. Today, we remember what You've done for us, and we just want to say thank You. God, we want to thank You for Your body that was broken and beaten for us. We want to thank You for the blood that poured out so that we can be made whole. We want to thank You from leaving Your home in heaven and coming to this earth and demonstrating to us how we can live this life out. Thank You that You walked in humility. Thank You for the miracles that You did, proving Yourself as the Son of God. Thank You for salvation. Can you just thank Him this morning? Can you begin to name your reasons that you are thankful? You just begin to make those things known, say, God, this is what I'm thankful. You have been so good to me. You've blessed my life. I'm just so thankful. I'm thankful, Lord Jesus. Begin to express to God your thankfulness. It's not good enough just to name it, but you must express it to God. God is the author. God is the author of all good things, and any good thing comes from Him. Your job, the reason that you're successful in your job, it comes because of God, because of His goodness. Any good that you experience on this life, your family, it comes because of God. Everything that you have and everything that you are is because of Him. God, we are just so grateful this morning. We're grateful. And we just want to say thank you. Thank you, Lord. I hope you've taken the time to examine your hearts. And if there's any sin in your life, that you would repent from it. That you would receive forgiveness of your sins this morning. The Bible says that if we repent, if we believe, that we can be made white as snow. If you just confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Christ was raised from the dead, you shall be saved. And the greatest thing that you can be thankful for this morning is your salvation. And if you're not sure that heaven will be your home, I want you to know today that you can have that assurance today. That you, if you just surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, would you just say, Lord, would you come into my life? Would you make me whole? I'm tired of living for myself. I want to be made new. Today, I'm living my life as though I'm living unto your glory, oh God. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Direct me, oh God. Save me from my sins. I repent of my sins, oh God. Cleanse me. It's one of the greatest things that you can be thankful for this Thanksgiving is the gift of salvation. So at this time, we just like to take the bread, take the cup. Just hold the bread in your hand as just symbolic of His body that was beaten and broken for us. Today we do this in remembrance of you and what you've done for our lives. And we say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. You may eat. The juice in your hands. Thank you. We just want to remember the blood that was shed for us so that we can be forgiven of our sins. Lord, today we remember the awesome price that you paid by shedding your blood for us. Today we just want to say thank you. Thank you, Lord. You may drink of the cup. And as you do, would you just stand to your feet and just begin to give God just a praise offering. Say, God, we're just so thankful for all that you have done in our lives. And where you are bringing us, come on, would you just put your hands together and just make some noise for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Come on, He is your Savior. He is your Deliverer. Come on, He is mighty. He is your Healer. He is your stronghold. Come on, there is something to be thankful for this morning. There's a reason to thank God. God, we just want to offer you up this praise of thanksgiving. And we just thank you so much, Lord, for all that you have done in our lives. We thank you for where you have brought us from and where you are bringing us to. Lord, today we choose, Lord, to name our reasons for being thankful and, Lord, to express our thankfulness. We love you and we just give you all the praise and all the glory in this place today. And let the church of God say amen and amen. Amen. Amen.
We encourage you, find someone to give thanks to. Go and tell someone. God's been convicting me of that, so go ahead and do that. Our line for the food is going to start right here through the sanctuary. We do ask that you only take one plate. No to-go plates, please. Those people want to bring their food home. If you didn't bring food, we cooked enough for you, so we would love to have you. No church this Wednesday. There'll be no church this Wednesday due to Thanksgiving. We are sorry, but no church. No to-go plates. Again, no to-go plates, and the Saints game will come on in 15 minutes for all those diehard Saints fans. We're going to go through this door right here. So make sure you grab a hold of some food. Bring your kids, adults, stay with your kiddos, please, and bring them through the line. Don't let the kids go by themselves. We love you guys. Encourage you to give generously. I don't know what else to say.